We are not the same. The playing ground is all of us. We came from another kingdom. We are polythiomas. Do you understand? Meaning extensions of another kingdom. You see, Christians trying to live life, trying to do their business, do their job, run their career, and make progress by human skill. You are wasting time. Your mind must be upon the everlasting covenant. We are that book of missional truth. Wherever God has sent you, listen, this is the message that will give meaning to your Christian experience. Without this, there is no purpose. And when an experience does not have a purpose, there is confusion and abuse. You cannot plan to reign without this revelation. It's not possible, sir. It's not possible, sir. The level of your dominion is a reflection of your level of skill in the doctrine of righteousness. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Blessings and glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, power and might be unto the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're supposed to. You're supposed to touch Ezekiel. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You're not used to the song. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Reigning through righteousness. We talked about righteousness last week. Amen. Let's just complete this part of the teaching. How many of you are on for total immersion? Somebody's shouting, right? Total immersion. What an experience. The Lord is cooking. The Lord is building. He's building us. You know, I love that. Do you know the song? The Lord is building Jerusalem. The Lord is building Jerusalem. He's gathering together the outcast of Israel. The Lord is building Jerusalem. The Lord is building Jerusalem. The Lord is building Jerusalem. He's gathering together the outcast of Israel. The Lord is building Jerusalem. It's Jewish also. Your mind knows us. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, so we stopped at Galatians 3 last week, right? Galatians 3, the doctrine of righteousness. Amen. Doctrine of righteousness, or reigning to righteousness. I can't remember how I titled it. Just a talk on the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Thank you for loving us so exclusively. Thank you. Thank you. We are prouder of your love for us than we are of our love for you. Amen. Because that is a perspective you want us to have. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. Hallelujah. The teaching on righteousness is critical to the kingly dominion of the believer on the earth. I prove that to you again and again from scriptures. And every time, as time permits, I highlight the scriptures that support that statement. Praise God. You know, in Hebrews 5, we saw that the writer of Hebrew used the expression unskillful in the word of righteousness. He said, for any man that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You know, the verse before then, he was talking to them about how that by now there ought to be teachers, but they need again that they be taught the very elementary principles of the doctrines of Christ. Are we together? So he says, but you still need milk. And then he connected spiritual babyhood. He connected that that stage when a person is referred to as a spiritual child. When the person is referred to as a spiritual babe. He connected it to being skillful in the word of righteousness. You know, when you read something like that from the Bible, it should get your attention. It should get your attention. How would it connect maturity with the revelation of righteousness? That means we can measure your level of maturity by your understanding of the doctrine of righteousness. By your skill in the doctrine of righteousness. Not just by your head knowledge. Amen. And I believe it was 3 weeks ago, I brought your attention to the fact that he didn't say he that useth milk is ignorant in the word of righteousness. He says he's unskillful in the word of righteousness. Skill and knowledge are not the same thing, even though they are related. We said to be skillful is to, who remembers what I say? Is to use the knowledge you have intelligently, precisely, deliberately to change outcome. Thank you. So the revelation of righteousness to the believer must be a skill. Do you understand? Must be part of life skill. Something you use to navigate life. That's what he's saying. And here we went further to talk about the kind of righteousness you were talking about. Amen. I believe that was where we stopped last week. Glory to God. Praise God. Romans 5 verse 17 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned, much more they which receive abundance of grace, and the second thing, and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. There were two figures in the Old Testament who really reigned. Amen. Abraham reigned in his days. He was so blessed. He was so blessed. He was bigger than nations. Did you ever read about Abraham's household? Think about how blessed Abraham was. He dominated his world. In prosperity, in military power, amen, interestingly. He took 318 trained servants. The Bible says he took 318 servants who were trained in his house and took them to defeat 4 kings that 5 kings could not defeat. In Genesis chapter 14, are you aware that when Chedorlaomer came and bullied the other king, the king of Sodom and the other kings, he took men captive. And Lot, unfortunately for Chedor, Lot was among the men he took captive. And Lot was related to Abraham. That was his undoing. But my point is, he bullied 5 kings. And they were helpless. And then there came a man called Abraham. A covenant man who knew something. He took 318 servants in his house. And they went and defeated the army of four nations. That means he wasn't number one. Those guys were more than them. But there was a superiority of covenant. Oh. There was a superiority of strategy. There was a superiority of training. The other guys had natural military training. They had something extra. Glory to God. Abraham was a blessed man. Abraham was a prophet. I didn't call him, so God did. God called him a prophet. So Abraham was not a self-acclaimed prophet. He was a God-proclaimed prophet. Are we together? That means there was something he knew about the operations of the spirit realm. And he perhaps, of course, certainly communicated some of those things to his men. Because there's no way you can take 318 trained servants to defeat 4 kings. Are we together? Are we together? But there was something he knew. He reigned. He was so blessed. No, let's analyze a little. 318 trained servants. These were male servants. Are we together? They had wives. They had children. So try to calculate the size of the household of Abraham. That's your father. Glory to God. The Bible says when he was old, it was said of him. You know, the servant, Eleazar of Damascus, declared about Abraham. He said, for God has blessed my master in all things. In all things. In all things. That is the picture, the portrait of the blessed man. You are blessed in all things. Nothing missing, nothing broken. You are blessed in all things. That means you can't relinquish a facet of your life to Satan. Blessed in all things. That's why he's prosperous, but he's sick. He's blessed financially, but his children are useless. No. Abraham was blessed in all things. That is a picture of the blessing. You know, some Christians, because of lack of knowledge, they try to negotiate with Satan. Okay, God, you have tried in this area. Okay, Satan, you can have this. No. No. Blessed in all things. Are we together? But that man was given a righteousness that is not of works. He was given the righteousness of faith. The Bible says in Genesis 15, from verse 6, 7, 8, you see there. After God painted the picture, he told him, come out of your tent, look towards heaven. If you can count the star, if you can recount the story of the stars, that's what he says. If you can tell the stars, and he told him, so shall your seed, singular, be. Glory to God. And the Bible says, Abraham believed God. And what happened? It was counted, credited to him for what? For righteousness. So Paul came in Romans 4 and says, what is it that Abraham, our father, has found? He connected the prosperity of Abraham. He connected the dominion of Abraham. He connected to the on topness of Abraham, if you understand that, to his righteousness. And that righteousness was a righteousness of faith. Oh, it was. Glory to God. You know, some of the things that Abraham did when he went to Abimelech's house, part of what he did was to test the covenant. Oh. Amen. He also test the covenant. But the covenant delivered. Amen. Why? The covenant always delivers. You know what the covenant is? You will see it. We have read Hebrews 6 for you before. That is the picture. That is a picture of the strength of what is between us and God, or of what brought us forth. The Bible says, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. He said, wherefore God willing more abundantly to show to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. For by two immutable things in which it was possible for God to lie. He says, so that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge. Glory to God. He said, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Meaning, just like men swear by superior power, God looked around for who he would swear by. He couldn't find anyone. He swore by himself. Meaning, as I'm swearing by myself, if I don't keep my side, I will self-destruct. Are we here? That's what we've got. Glory to God. So back to Abraham. It was that journey in righteousness that placed him above the nations. So he mentions him in Romans 4. He mentions David also, the great king. Glory to God. And then he said, David described the blessedness of a man unto whom God will not impute sin. He said, blessed is a man that God credits righteousness to his accounts without the works of the law. Have it together. This is the foundation. This is where we stand to reign. In case you are not connecting to do, remember I told you that this revelation must be a skill set. Amen. That you use to navigate life. That means not something you hear in church. Okay, the doctrine of righteousness, I'm the righteous of God. What next? And go. No. No. That means every time you are faced with opposition, you see it through the eyes of righteousness. Okay, somebody did not get me. Every time you want to change levels, you want to move from here there, you look at it through the eyes of righteousness. Are you listening? That means your first consideration, the lens with which you look at how to shift from A to B, how to move from here there, is the lens of the righteousness of God. That's what I'm talking about. So what I'm telling you is not what to keep in the archives of your brain. No, it's something to use daily. For in the New Testament, the Bible refers to the true revelation of righteousness as a skill set. Are you getting it now? That means in prayer, you use it. In confronting the powers of hell, you use it. In standing before the powers of Satan, the works of Satan, that is, you use it. In confronting darkness, you come with that skill in the word of righteousness. This is how you see things. Hallelujah. This is how you see things. When you are praying about supernatural deliverance, supernatural protection, supernatural preservation, and you are addressing devils and demons, you stand with the consciousness of the righteousness of God. That is not yours. Give me Isaiah 54 verse 17. Very quickly. You know, Isaiah 53 began to talk about the sacrifice of Christ. Which we call the basis of the blessing. Then Isaiah 54 began to talk about the blessings. The blessings that follows this sacrifice of Jesus. He started by saying, sing, O barren. You see, you only sing at a good news. Glory to God. 53 was the report. Glory to God. 54 is the manifestation of the power that the report has brought. You know, he said, 50, he said, who has believed that report? To that same person, the supreme arm of God is advertised. The saving arm, the saving power of God is revealed. There's a demonstration of that power to the one that believes the report. Then 54 starts telling us about the blessing. Single barren. That means there's fruitfulness now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That means there's productivity now. Sing, O barren. Break forth into singing. Thou that is not before, more are the children of desolate than the married woman, say the Lord. He said, strengthen. He said, how did he start it? Lengthen your cord. Stretch forth the curtain of thy habitation. Strengthen thy stake. Okay, for thou shalt do all. Break forth to the left and to the right. Enlargement. Why? Because of what has happened in 53. Enlargement. And then he went and talked about covenant. He went and talked about the covenant of peace. How that this covenant shall be like the days of Noah, where God will never be angry again with you or wrought to because of what he has done. And then he talks about how that your children will be taught of the Lord, and great will be their shalom. Then he talks about protection at the end. So he was laying out the blessing of what Christ has done. Give me 17 now. No, I love, start from verse 15. Let me just show you something quickly. I love that part too. That's what I want you to see. I want you to see this. You know, sometimes he said, what happened? I had a nightmare. What happened? I was holding something. Somebody collected. Somebody slapped me. Somebody shot me. Hi. You know, there are scriptures you meditate on. That slim. A sleep, a dream cannot be over until you win. You can sleep back. You can train your sleep. There are dreams that I continue. I'll tell myself I want to continue this dream, and it continues. It's a training you give to your spirit. Amen. You return back and complete it. Or if the dream is not coming, use your mouth to complete it. Mako pato skele brunda. Use your mind. Say, devil, you will laugh very well. Say, devil, you a liar. Dreams are demonic suggestions. This kind of dreams, they are demonic. It's a suggestion. And I say, no. I return it back to you and your mother-in-law. Go punish you. Go. Are you here? And speak like three lines of tongues. Shapato kepa. Just speak some tongues and rejoice and shout. Shout the fear of your mind. Are you here? Why should you be shaking and crying after a dream? You say, in the name of Jesus, I cancel that dream. It is canceled. It will never happen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And then you go back to sleep. Are you here? They say, hey, they have gathered. Oh, in fact, they even sent me later that they have gathered. They warned me in the office that we'll see what will happen to you. I'm looking for the next person that will tell me that. The person will die for free. Amen. No, why should I look at the Christ and say, look at, you see what I'll do to you in this office. And a person is shaking. You lack the understanding of the covenant that brought you forth. The Bible says we are children of the prophets. And of the covenant which God made with our father, saying, in thy offspring shall the nations of the earth be blessed. We are products of the Abrahamic covenant. Do you understand? That covenant protection is an embedded part. Have you ever heard of the terror of Jacob? Jacob was meandering with his family. Nobody could say attack him. We call it the terror of Jacob. Nobody. And somebody called my mentor, Dr. Paul Enenche, and said, this talk, you know, he was attacking the government before the last election. Talking body. He said, this thing you are saying, can you just slow down? He laughed. He said, even the devil, their father, is afraid of me. When we see ourselves on the road, we know. Did you ever hear that they sent DSS to him? No, did you hear about it? No, did you hear? Shagabalatosa. You know, he told somebody, he said, the person came, he said, they have marked. He said, they have a mark to demolish the church. They have seen the document. They have signed, blah, 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 blah. And the person will say, he said, don't waste your fear. Don't waste your fear. He said, we build this church. When we want to tear it down, we will tear it down. No government, they should come. You hear the expression? He said, don't waste your fear. Meaning there is no need to be afraid. Are you here? Are you here? Why should they point to a Christian and say, you see what I'll do to you? You will hold the hand and speak in tongues. You will hold his hand, speak in tongues for 10 minutes. And find out if the person will not be confused. Sit down. Let me teach. You will find out if the person will not be confused.
He will fall like a leaf. What? Most colabracatias.
You will hold and speak. If the person is close, you grab his hand and begin to speak in tongues. Remember the story of the woman that they sent a message to, that there were assassins assigned to kill her. They send the message, Malakapa. Mother, they say reply in tongues. She typed Jaco Papatas Liko Abratos Epati Shapato Kappa Rapata. Come for me. That was the last time. They called. I said, oh, sorry, he's the wrong person. Are you here? Are you here? Are you here? No, there should not warn a Christian in the office and then he comes and is crying in pastor's office. What do you understand about the covenant? The everlasting covenant. The Abrahamic covenant. What do you know about the terror of Jacob? He says, surely they will gather. That means if they are not gathered, you are not going anywhere. That which is had meeting on your head, is it news? Have it to right. He said, behold, they shall surely gather together. They'll gather. You had a dream, they were in the coven talking about you. It's written in the Bible, surely they shall gather. But because they fulfilled the first part, they must fulfill the rest. Are you here? They fulfilled the first part. He said, they shall surely gather, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for your sake. You know the foundation of this righteousness. Give me the 13th verse. Maybe I should go back. That's the foundation. That's the foundation. But look at this. And all that children shall be taught the Lord, grace their peace. Next verse. That should be 14 then. Next verse. It says, in righteousness shall thou be established. Now, what righteousness is he talking about? Your righteousness? No. We will see it later. We'll keep reading. He said, thou shalt be far from oppression. Why? Because you are established in righteousness. He said, for thou shall not fear. Why? Because you are established in righteousness. I told you that the revelation of the doctrine of righteousness is a skill set. It's a skill that you walk through life with. Thou shall not fear, for it shall not come near thee. Of terror shall... Next verse. Behold, they shall surely gather. We have read that. He said, they shall fall for your sake. Next verse. Aha. He said, behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire. That means those that manufacture the weapons, I made them. That's what I'm saying. Those who manufacture the weapons, visible or invisible, I created them. He says, I created the waster. Look at this. I created the smith that bloweth the coals that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. I have created the waster to destroy. I made them, and I'm the one telling you. I made you too. I know the material that I use, and I'm aware of the ones they are making. Oh, is somebody getting me? You didn't get that. I created them, and I created you too. And I'm the one telling you that no weapon that is formed against you can prosper. That means the weapons they are making do not have power over you. That's what he's saying. I made them and I made you. No weapon. Marcos Kebala Tosca. No weapon. When they come against you, you are praying and praying, you are feeling light. Sow seed. Break bread. Take a fast. Horabakapaya. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is where I'm going. He said, this is the heritage of the servant of the Lord. Read the next thing for me. Want to go? No, read it for me. Want to go? And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So the righteousness that you established in that he's talking about is not human righteousness. He said, that righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. That righteousness is of me. Meaning, I am the source of this righteousness. I give them this righteousness. Is there? This is Isaiah prophesying. And you know, these were messianic prophecies. Amen. 53, I told you, it shows us of the sacrifice of Jesus. The finished works of Christ, his death and his burial. 54 begins to show the blessings of the sacrifice. And righteousness is part of the blessing. He puts it there. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Christ is my righteousness. You say that with revelation, you will feel the power of God. Christ is my righteousness. Christ is my righteousness. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God forevermore. Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, very quickly. He said, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us what? Wisdom. Christ is my wisdom. Christ is my wisdom. Oh, I feel the anointing on me. Christ is my wisdom. The Christos is my wisdom. I will never walk in foolishness anymore. Christ is my wisdom. I'm increasing in the manifestation every day. Christ is my wisdom. I make the right choices. Christ is my wisdom. My days of foolishness are over. That's what you have to do to the world. The Bible calls us doers of the word. The Greek word is poetis. From where they get the God the word a poet from. A poetis means to practice as a performer. Do you understand? To practice, to perform. To practice to perfection and to perform. So we are doers of the word. Meaning we are performers of the word. We do. We perform the word. Poetess. We do the word. It's an art. Amen. A poet will call them artists, right? That's what he's saying. That doing the word is an art that you can improve on. It's both an art and a science. A major part of it is putting that word on your lips. Christ has been made unto me wisdom. I get it right the first time. Amen. I'm not doing tinitanana. I get, if I close my eyes and I pick the right one. Because there's a way you can confess and pray and meditate into this. It will take over you. You can't be doing guesswork. Why should a believer marry the wrong husband, wrong wife? Lack of wisdom. Well, and why do we say lack of wisdom? He has not seen Christ as his righteousness, as his wisdom, rather. She has not seen Christ as her wisdom. If Christ, you can't do it. When that wisdom begins to work, you wake up one day and say, I'm not doing it. All the emotions will die. All the benefits you thought you have, they are useless to you now. You're just like, I can't do it. The wisdom of God is working in you. You can't make mistakes. Sometimes you see believers, you say, why is she marrying that guy? And you are wondering, you are helpless. He's alive now. What will you do? Glory to God. I'm married. I'm not interested. So it's about her. You're wondering, what is she doing? What is he doing? You can see the lack of wisdom. But the Bible says, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I have the light of life. I do not walk in darkness. You are making business deal. You should know that you'll be duped. You should know. Something should tell you. Are you here? Your reign should instruct you in the night seasons. Yes, Christ is your wisdom. Christ is your wisdom. Are you here? Not just living by chance. No. You focus. And you are deliberate. Christ is my wisdom. Hallelujah. You say, you don't understand, Pastor, I'm confused. Keep quiet. You are not confused. Declare, Christ is my wisdom. And when there is wisdom, there is light. I don't get confused. I have the light of life. Christ is my light. So he's been made unto us wisdom. Oh, we can, I mean, that's not my focus, but I'm just highlighting it as the sweetness. He is our wisdom. He is our wisdom. We make the right decisions. He is our wisdom. Hallelujah. Why am I being drawn to relationship area again? Maybe God is talking to someone. God is talking to someone. Christ is your wisdom. If things are looking foggy, separate yourself and clear your head. Do you understand? I can't be deceived. Tommy is guessing, just guessing. James lost me, but he's stingy. John doesn't really show he lost me, but he spoils me. He's not romantic, sharp, but he spoils me. And Daniel, Kai, that one, I don't know. Pastor, there are three of them. In 6 months, now what should I do? Misha, I like the person that spoils me. I like the person that spoils me. They will spoil you. They will really spoil you. And then you are ignoring this serious brother that has a bright future. Blinding future. That's it. You make up. But you know, once you sort out your value system, it will be difficult for God to leave you. Are there all those stories? I know ladies were designed for comfort. God created them that will touch their body now, you know. They were designed for comfort. But you see, don't sabotage temporary comfort for long-term discomfort. Amen. I heard of a person recently that they are designing with slap as we are talking right now. Amen. Amen. They are designing our face with slap. Glory to God. We slap. Yes, we give our money. Designing with slap. Amen. You are smiling. You know the person. Consistently. No, it's sad, but these are things we know. These are things. So when we are talking and talking and talking about relationship, and then somebody you think has been hearing you is still acting foolishly. You put your hand on your... Well, I told Firstly, I said, what else should I do? You are amazed. Glory to God. Your future is important too. Your future is very important. Life is spiritual. Amen. Life is spiritual, and you have to pay attention. You have to decide to live by the wisdom of God. The whole place is quiet now. Glory to God. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Put my 1 Corinthians 1:30 for me. Are you here? Life is spiritual. And the other side is also true. As a young man, you are just entering everywhere. You are just entering everywhere. Trading your future. If our time will not permit me to tell you about the negative impact, you have to be... Listen, life is spiritual. Glory to God. Life is spiritual. And of course, we are not saying this to make people afraid. But the more church grows, we are there already. A lot of people come to church. People hang around church. There are people that say they are Christians. Okay. It doesn't mean just jump in and be misbehaving. No. No. There are people who hang around church who have their own agenda. Amen. You've not heard stories. Oh, you've not heard stories. Marcos Kebalaya. You've not heard stories. Be wise. I don't know why the Lord will have me say this. Be wise. Okay, be wise. Guide your affairs in discretion. That's what the Bible says. Guide your affairs in discretion. Glory to God. There are people who are in church who are in courts. When worship, they lift their hands. They are in courts. As in churches, generically. And I'm not talking about glory zone. Amen. Are you here? So that you not be a dictator. Be a detective in the house of God. They are not here. Amen. Hallelujah. But the power, they choke people here now. Power. You were here on Sunday. Sugar bars. You know that sugar bar anointing? You know what they call sugar bar in Hausa? Mapula Koskapa. That governing anointing. You know, you didn't hear the tongues, so I said sugar bars. You know what sugar bar means in Hausa? That's like governor, leader, king, right? That dominating anointing. And that's the sugar bars. It will show. We had somebody roll out of church. Was it by now? She ran. The brother, she said, I can't stay here. I can't. I said, come here. Come out of her. Praise God. So, walk in discretion. Friends, okay, be wise, be circumspect. Don't just be open like that. It's not possible. Amen. Don't just be open like that. No, don't just be open like that and be blaming Satan. No. Be circumspect. Are you listening? Be circumspect. Have your life structured by wisdom in such a way that Kai is very difficult for certain things to get to you. It's very, very difficult. Makos keli brakos kepatayas. So he said, Christ has made unto us wisdom and righteousness. That was where I was going. That was the detour. Did you enjoy the detour? And righteousness. So Christ is our righteousness. We don't stand before God having our own righteousness, which is of the law. But we are conscious of his righteousness in prayers, in confronting the works of darkness, in making progress. I've told you, moving from here there, you look through the lens of righteousness. Hallelujah. Blessed be God forever. Are you blessed tonight? Are you blessed tonight? Amen. The story I told you is just for your ears. Oh. Don't go and gist and put on Facebook hashtag lizard. I know somebody is angry with me now. You've not read your Bible. Nice. Anybody can be nice. Anybody can. Niceness is not a criteria. Amen. It's surface. I don't understand. A Christian. And then they are arguing with you. You know, part of my job here is to provide materials to disciple you. Amen. And to train you. So one day I say, I feel like removing belt to flog you. That's what I told her. I said, I feel like removing belt. You mean that guy who is a Muslim slept with you and you are going to church? I'll remove my belt. Now, funny enough, let me paint the picture. It had happened before she even came to church, before she became a church. But hearing it, I was angry. For what? There's what we call common sense. Amen. But it's not looking common anymore. Because people have all kinds of ideologies. Do you know what you are opening yourself up to? And then you use years to struggle and struggle to try to get yourself out. Are we together? And by the way, sex is overrated. Did you hear what I said? You can write it down. Sex is overrated. When you clear your mind, you see the problem is we have been visually assaulted. That's the problem. We've been visually assaulted for too long. Okay? And it was deliberate too. They planned for it. So that we have our minds, okay, all kinds of things. It wasn't deliberate. That's why I say when you clear your mind, you see that sex is overrated. And this is what you should allow the ministry of the word do for you. To purge your mind. Have it together. To purge your mind. And you have to vet what you watch deliberately. Okay. And sometimes there are times you have to be aggressive. Let me tell you something there. As a believer, when you reduce the intake for a period of time, you see how clear your mind can be. It's just so you're on YouTube, I'm sorry, you're on Instagram, somebody posts like this, a bomb bomb is out, you are on this one, you saw this one, you're watching a movie, they just made love, they were not married, okay, you just saw it, and it looks like this nice, yes, you're smiling, oh, this is cool. If we call it subliminal impact, are we together? Can I talk to you? Amen. Those things over time will now paint the picture that as though sex is a physiological need. It's not. Glory to God. Have it together. It's not too. Glory to God. But you see, it's those exposures over time. It's important. God created it for a context. Have it together. I mean, for the right context. You understand what I mean? Okay, but you see, once you remove those things, you tell yourself, this thing is overrated. I'm telling you, it is overrated. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you blessed? The Christ is my wisdom. Christ is my wisdom. No more guesswork. Christ is my wisdom. Christ is my wisdom. You tell yourself, the days of foolishness are over. I refuse to be foolish. In the name of Jesus, I refuse to make foolish choices. I refuse to make foolish choices. Christ is my righteousness. Christ is my wisdom. I know how to behave. In the name of Jesus, my mind is sane. I know how to think. I think excellent thoughts. In the name of Jesus, Christ is my wisdom. He is my righteousness. He is my justification. He is my redance. He is my light. He is my light. He is my light. My mind is sane. He is my light. My mind is sane. He is my light. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Lift your hands toward heaven. Just bless the Lord. Speak in other tongues. Can I have the people to serve the communion? Zaki parozushta. Onterogeboska brandas kepataya. Horebekoska baya. Jalige bruski paruske paya. Om jalede kapraka posushta. Rebeka posa. Em jalede kapruska. Erruke posushta. Em jalede kaprunda sushta. Em jalede kapruske paya. Posa. Jeko preko posushta. Em jeto ligo sapraktos kila zapana lizo shta prokila koska. Speak in tongues. Ragi berusa pa redile kopasina rekopaselida. Em jelido sopraktila koske lida gahaya rapetondas luvra pati sushta brunda kiza praktolida ligo zushta prokila mora batelida morebo. Montesi fractosila, em jelis tapaya, loris tapa, loris tapa, loris tapa, loris tapa, loris tapa, monteliga, regebusa, em jelida gabrosista, em jelida gabragabusa, em jelida gabragabusa, em jelida gabragabusa, em brakoskista, brukta susta, em jelida gabrasusta. Em jelede gabrunda, eruki sushta, brukta ligas, laki posushta. Thank you, Lord. Om na la 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 bosa, rise to your feet. Monte baratusapaya. Om na la bogasanabaya. Ea rose baralabaye. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We're going to break bread, amen. And we're going to take it reverently and with expectation. Are we together? And the Holy Spirit will have me say this. You know, when I talk about walking by the wisdom of God, discerning for those who are not married yet, you see, as a lady, you see, you don't just look at, you look at the heart. Don't just look at the person and say, this brother is not spiritual. Hold on. Amen. God wants me to talk to someone. Okay? What you look at is the person's willingness to learn. The person's commitment to being under authority. Those two things. You must see the two things. Okay. I know people, not say, I almost call the person's name. He's a pastor. He's a serious pastor in this country. Man, some of you may know him. Okay. When he wanted to marry his wife, the wife was more spiritual than him. He was a convert. He was interested in the things as well. He didn't know many things. Even Jerry Seville, no? It was the same thing. Okay, he didn't know many things. But he was willing. And then the pastor told him, he said, okay, this sister is more spiritual than you. I love honest pastors. Okay, he said, this sister is more spiritual than you. Okay, loves God, is more skillful in the word of God than you. So if you want to marry her, you have to show me that you can grow very fast. And then he was committed. They got married years ago, maybe 20 years ago. Now we can't put both of them. The wife is a helpmeet indeed. He has gone. Amen. Glory to God. Are you listening? Okay, so not just looking at, okay, because of the things I've said, I'm not looking at, oh, this one is a carnal brother. If I, this one is, no. You look at people's hearts, people's willingness to learn. Are you listening? And their commitment to be under authority. Once those two things are there, you can go to sleep. Amen. God will have me say that. But see, a person who is not committed to authority is dangerous. He's very dangerous. Because the time will always come in marriage where you will need someone. You will need someone that can talk sense to your husband's head. That is the truth. That is the truth. If there is no such person, that's one chance. You are left to your own. It's a reality. Every married person can tell you. And by principle, every believer is supposed to have accountability figures in their lives. Pastors not exempted. Amen. That's including pastor. Any pastor that does not have an accountability figure in his life or figures in his life cannot pastor you. Let fire be burning on their head, literally, every day. Everywhere they are walking with fire like this. They can't pastor you. Because it is God's order. It cannot be changed. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Sweet Holy Spirit, we adore you. Blessed Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. Thank you for your body broken, that we may be whole forever. Thank you for your body broken, that we may be healed forever. Thank you for your body broken, Marcos Kebrendos Kapaliata, on that cross of Calvary, that we may walk in victory forever. Thank you for your blood poured out for us. We do this in remembrance, and we do this to activate in our lives the power of your sacrifice. We do this to walk in the consciousness of your power, of the power of your sacrifice. Lord, at this table, I declare that needs are met. At this table, I declare that burdens are lifted. At this table, I declare that yokes are destroyed. In the name of Jesus, at this table, Calabalosa, the Bible says, is this not the cup of the communion of his blood that we take? At this table of the communion, La Copatoskeli Kappa, Shepetola Copractoskepa, your people are lifted to new levels of victory, new levels of power, new levels of favor in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. Lord, thank you for supernatural prosperity because of this blood. Thank you for supernatural prosperity because of this blood. Lord, thank you for supernatural favor. Thank you for the works of our hands are blessed. Because of this blood, we are preserved. Oh, we are preserved. This blood has become a wall of fire round about us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name.
had left. I put my faith. Woo!
One more time, everybody.
Oh, feet on the rocks and land. I put my faith in the I am.
For the last time.
Oh, feet on the rocks and land. I put my faith. Feet on the roasted lamb. I put my faith in thee. I am that I am. I see the lamb slain.
Christ is our vision. The crucified lamb is our vision. The resurrected king seated at the right hand of majesty is our vision. We see his power at work on our behalf. We see his grace released on our behalf because of his sacrifice. Father, we thank you. I speak to every sickness, online, on ground. I release the healing power of God through this blood you have taken. In the name of Jesus, I command, be healed. In the name of Jesus. Yes, let the Lord touch your body. Experience the touch of God on your body right now. In the name of Jesus. Online, be healed. You're listening to me online or watching. The healing power of God is touching you. That lump is gone. That breast lump is gone. It disappears now in the name of Jesus. That lump disappears now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's somebody, you have a growth in your body. It's not something that has bothered you. It's in a part of your body. That on your arm, on your hands, that's your upper limb or so. It's not something that has bothered you. I don't know whether it's a lipoma or just something. Just a swelling there for a while. In the name of Jesus, I command it to dematerialize. I command it to dematerialize. You will look for it and not find it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Yes, I heard that, Lord. That skin issue is gone. The hand of the Lord is upon your body. And that skin issue is gone. I don't know who that is. That skin issue is gone. In the name of Jesus. It's gone from you. You are healed. The fire of God will begin to burn right now. Speak in tongues. The fire of God is burning on that place. On that place right now. In the name of Jesus. And it's cleared off. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord some praise. Glory, glory, glory. Amen.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.